It's Friday, June 12th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I want to remind you all that today is Friday, and that means I will be appearing on the Cannabis Common Sense TV show, which is available online through ustream.tv. Check the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. I've got the streaming video window ready to go at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern, when the show goes on live. It is a call-in show, and you can call us at 503-288-4448. And we'll take your calls between myself, the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation's Paul Stanford, and Oregon Normal's Madeline Martinez. Also, if you're in the Portland, Oregon area, the show appears on Comcast Cable, Channel 11 at 8 p.m. Pacific. It also appears in Seattle, Denver, and some other cable locations. Check your local listings for the times. We've got a couple of legislative updates we need to get to you. The medical marijuana bill in the state of Delaware has passed through its Senate committee and is on its way to a vote for the full Senate. And as expected, Rhode Island Governor Carcieri has vetoed the dispensary bill that passed overwhelmingly in the Senate and the Assembly. So overwhelmingly that they have enough votes to override the veto, which is what we expect. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines with more news from medical marijuana legislation throughout the country, including the New Jersey bill, which has been severely amended as it makes its way to the Assembly, a New Hampshire bill that has also been severely amended, a look across the globe to the country of Malaysia and their death penalty for marijuana trafficking while they turn a blind eye to child sex trafficking, and in today's Daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we're wrapping up the last of the Global Marijuana Music Awards winners. Today features Rich Hardesty with his song Steady High, which was voted the best pop song. And for our interview segment, we are concluding our look at the Aspen Legal Seminar that took place this last Friday and Saturday with attorney Rob Corey, a Colorado attorney who defended that couple who went to the prom and the girl was denied going into her prom because her boyfriend smelled like his legal medical marijuana. It's really interesting, and we got some clips also from the local Colorado media and how they covered the case. You'll love how Rob Corey helped these folks out, and it's a fascinating look at legal ethics in dealing with the media. And in a bit of late-breaking great news, Oregon Normal's executive director, Madeline Martinez, winner of the Pauline Sabin Award and a member of the National Normal Board of Directors, just informed me that CNN's Anderson Cooper 360 just called her, and she's going to be interviewed for that week-long segment next week called America's High. That's going to be on the Anderson Cooper 360 show on CNN. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, all next week on CNN. They're also supposedly going to be sending a camera crew to our cardholder meeting that we're having tomorrow morning. So you may even get to see a little bit of me on the clips there. Congratulations to Madeline for doing such a fantastic job in the state of Oregon. And again, it's my honor to be her friend and to have gotten this position primarily because of her. So thank you so much, Madeline, and I know you'll be fantastic on CNN. Don't forget that Seattle Hemp Fest is just 2 months away. If you'd like to get involved in being one of Radical Russ's roadies at the Seattle Hemp Fest, which includes some backstage passes, give me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll see if we can induct you into my little host of helpers. 1967 was the summer of love. I'm declaring 2009 the summer of Bud. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. New Jersey medical marijuana has, quote, a good chance, end quote, of passing assembly. From CentralJersey.com. Legislation that would make New Jersey the 14th state to legalize the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes has a good chance of passing the state assembly and being signed into law, according to Assemblyman Reed Gashora, who is among the bill's sponsors. Entitled the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, the bill would allow patients suffering from debilitating illnesses to receive prescriptions entitling them to bags of the drug at special alternative centers to be established across the state. The bill, which was released from the Assembly Health and Senior Services Committee Thursday, will likely face a vote in the full Assembly within the next year, according to Mr. Gashora, a Democrat from Princeton, a strong supporter of the bill. Previous versions of the bill would have allowed patients to grow their own plants, like in other states, but those provisions have been eliminated. Assembly members tightened restrictions by requiring a prescription from a primary care physician, which will cut down on the practice of doctor shopping, where persons approach numerous doctors to receive an illegitimate prescription for a particular drug. Also, the latest bill makes the list of eligible patients more restrictive. Patients suffering from general chronic pain would have been eligible for medical marijuana under the form of the bill that passed in the state Senate, but assembly members revised the bill's language to be more ailment-specific. The bill now includes a list of diseases like seizure disorder, HIV and HIV complications, AIDS, cancer resulting in severe pain, and any terminal cancer, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and other diseases to establish eligibility for a marijuana prescription. Any medical marijuana bill that passes in New Jersey is better than no medical marijuana bill passed in New Jersey. That said, in pandering to law enforcement, this bill has been watered down to put undue burden on patients. Let's hope this is like Vermont, where they passed a restrictive law and then amended it to be better later. First, a patient can't grow their own medicine or have a caregiver grow it for them, but they must purchase it only from alternative centers. So, how potent will that marijuana be? What strains will be grown? You do know that a strain that works for nausea may not work for pain, right? So, is New Jersey ready to supply multiple strains of marijuana at varying potency levels? Or is this going to be like the one-size-fits-all seeds and stems included low-potency swag that Dr. El Soli and the University of Mississippi supply to the 4 remaining federal medical marijuana patients? Second, how much will this medicine cost? If experience is a guide, California dispensaries are selling medicine at $10 to $15 per gram or $45 per eighth. I know patients who go through a quarter ounce a day because they need to cook with it. Let's see. That's $2,700 in marijuana expenses per month. A patient could buy lights and ballasts and equip a grow room with that kind of money, and then spend maybe one-fifth that amount in electricity and supplies per month to grow a supply of medicine. At the exact strain and potency of medicine that the patient needs, too. Third, the reason this doctor shopping goes on is because a great number of primary care physicians still believe reefer madness about medical marijuana and won't recommend marijuana for their patients. Then there are those who believe in marijuana's efficacy, but cannot recommend because of workplace policies at their clinic, from their HMO, or from their insurance. In states like Oregon, where three quarters of doctors won't recommend and medical marijuana clinics are allowed, a doctor reviews the medical records from the primary care physician, performs an examination, verifies the qualifying condition, and recommends marijuana. So, in essence, two doctors have verified that a patient suffers from a qualifying condition. Fourth, the bill requires the marijuana sold through these state dispensaries to be tracked in a database. Yes, that's just what every medical marijuana patient needs, a record of their violation of federal controlled substance laws that can be used as evidence at a trial. Fifth, most patients who could benefit from medical marijuana use for treating chronic pain are left out. Here's the newly defined qualifying conditions from the Assembly Bill 804. Debilitating medical condition is defined as 1. Seizure disorder, including epilepsy, intractable skeletal muscular spasticity, or glaucoma that is resistant to conventional medical therapy. Which leads me to believe that if you have glaucoma that is responding to an expensive, side-effect-laden pharmaceutical treatment, you can't have cheap, safe marijuana instead. 2. Positive status for human immunodeficiency virus, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or cancer that results in severe or chronic pain, severe nausea or vomiting, cachexia or wasting syndrome. 3. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, multiple sclerosis, terminal cancer, or 4. Any other medical condition or its treatment that is approved by the Department of Health and Social Services by regulation. So, no medical marijuana if you have migraines, fused discs in your back, skeletal pain like from the rare disease that Irv Rosenfeld has, phantom pain from amputation, and any other pain that isn't caused by cancer. You can just go on downing expensive liver-killing addictive opioids whose side effects are often worse than the pain. Sixth, the permissible amount of marijuana a patient can acquire at the dispensary is 1 ounce in 30 days. A physician is to provide written instructions for a registered patient to present to an alternative treatment center at the time of pickup or delivery concerning the total amount of usable marijuana that a patient may be dispensed in weight in a 30-day period, which amount shall not exceed 1 ounce. If no amount is noted, the maximum amount that may be dispensed at one time is 1 ounce. A physician may issue multiple written instructions at one time, authorizing the patient to receive a total of up to a 90-day supply. So these patients, the ones who are going to need the largest supply of medicine, since you've narrowed it down to the sickest of the sick, can only get 1 ounce to last a month. Their doctor can write 3 separate recommendations, post-dated so the patient can pick up this month's marijuana and the next 2 months, but that means that a patient is going to have to visit their doctor and pay those doctor bills for the appointment 4 times per year. Not bad if you've got a job, insurance, and a $15 copay, but pretty tough when you're a multiple sclerosis patient who can't work and lives on a fixed disability income. And private health insurance for an unemployed MS patient with pre-existing conditions? Right. Seventh, I see nothing in this bill protecting a patient's right to work. Now, granted, most of the severe conditions allowed for in this bill would prevent most people from working, but not all. Lots of people with epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, and cancer have jobs, but not for long if they're going to be popped for a random pee test. All these hoops to jump through because New Jersey legislators are afraid some healthy person might get high, even though they're getting high already. Until marijuana is legalized for all of us, patients will always face high prices, bureaucratic hurdles, pathetic possession limits, job discrimination, and lack of choice. New Hampshire medical marijuana bill amended to take away home growing. Just like New Jersey and Minnesota, third verse, same as the first. Concord, New Hampshire. A New Hampshire House and Senate committee has amended language to a bill that would allow patients with debilitating illnesses to receive small amounts of marijuana. The original bill let patients grow it at their home, but now they would go to a compassion center, a not-for-profit organization that must receive state certification. The bill allows for up to 3 compassion centers, though the language does allow for up to 5 after 2 years. Imagine if cities turned off their water facilities, and the next time you went to the faucet, nothing came out. You call the city and they tell you, sorry, from now on you must purchase your water in bottles from one of 3 licensed water dispensaries, and you can only get a gallon per day, and it costs 6 times more than what your old water bill used to cost. You'd scream bloody murder, right? That's what it feels like to a medical marijuana patient who was told she cannot grow her own medicine. You cannot live without water. She cannot live without medical marijuana. She could easily grow the marijuana at low cost at home, but we're going to force her to pay 6 times the cost to leave her house to get it at a dispensary or pay to have someone deliver it. Okay, maybe that water marijuana comparison is a bit much. I mean, after all, these patients can live without marijuana. It's just not the kind of life you'd want to live. Oh, and also, drinking too much water can actually kill you, unlike marijuana. Marijuana trafficking equals death by hanging in Malaysia, but child sex trafficking equals tourism dollars. 3 men have a date with the hangman after they were found guilty by the High Court of Malaysia today in trafficking 100 pounds of cannabis. A car washer, a ship worker, and an unemployed man appeared calm when the High Court judge, Datuk Azahar Mohammed, delivered the sentence. The offense under Section 39B1A of the Dangerous Drugs Act of 1952 carries the mandatory death penalty upon conviction. In Malaysia, any amount in possession over 7 ounces is automatically considered trafficking and eligible for the death penalty. Meanwhile, Malaysia enjoys a big economic boost from turning a blind eye to Westerners engaging in child sex tourism. Sex tourism is a very lucrative industry that spans the globe. In 1998, the International Labor Organization reported its calculations that 2 to 14% of the gross domestic product of Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Thailand derives from sex tourism. In addition, while Asian countries including Thailand, India, and the Philippines have long been prime destinations for child sex tourists, in recent years, tourists have increasingly traveled to Mexico and Central America for their sexual exploits as well. Child sex tourists are individuals that travel to foreign countries to engage in sexual activity with children. The nonprofit organization End Child Prostitution, Child Pornography, and the Trafficking of Children estimates that more than 1 million children worldwide are drawn into the sex trade each year. The response of destination countries to the epidemic of child sex tourism has been ineffective. Although many of these countries have passed legislation that criminalizes sexual exploitation of children, these laws often remain unenforced against tourists. Efforts to combat child sexual exploitation often run into conflict with foreign governments' efforts to promote the international tourism industry. Police corruption is common. In Thailand and the Philippines, police have been known to guard brothels and even procure children for prostitution. Some police in destination countries directly exploit the children themselves. Thus far, the international community has not been able to rely on destination countries to adequately protect the rights and well-being of child victims. So, enjoy your next vacation to Kuala Lumpur and feel free to have sex with a local 12-year-old. Just don't smoke a joint afterwards. Sorry for that disturbing comment, but what else can I say about a country that will hang to death a car washer, a ship worker, and an unemployed man for marijuana trafficking, but ignores and even encourages child sex trafficking to boost tourism? You know, it's about time we stopped having a war on drugs and had a war on child prostitution.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Having walked away with three Global Marijuana Music Awards in 2009, including Song of the Year, we end the bonus 2009 GMMA Winners Week with Rich Hardesty's music and his 2009 Global MMA Best Pop Song, Steady High. The song has history with the MMA. Its first production won 2005's Marijuana Music Awards Best Pop Song. Having been totally remade, the song has come back to win Best Pop Song again in 2009. Rich Hardesty's music fuses folk, rock, reggae, and soul. Rich has been entertaining fans of all ages with his unique style for over a decade. Rich's diverse songwriting talents have allowed him to continually write songs with conviction, appeal, and importantly, with his distinctive feel-good music style. Keep updated about Rich and grab his latest CD, Ganja Plantation, at myspace.com/richhardestymusic. Registered stashers, you'll be able to get an MP3 download of this tune, so sit back, spark one up, and enjoy 2009's Global MMA Best Pop Song, It's Rich Hardesty, with Steady High.
That's what I needed.
Get it the right way.
Yes.
From a distance. Woo!
Oh, sunny out.
Everybody
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon. Everybody's gotta pay the fiddler someday, and I heard that he's coming soon. So try to keep a steady eye.
Although I'm not a steady guy, but I
try to keep a steady eye. Times are cross, times are fly. Try to keep a steady eye. Some people pass you down on the street. Can they look you in your eye? Do they look on down at the cracks in the ground and they slowly pass you by? It appears to me that probably having a bad day now. Don't let your negative thoughts talk to you like that. Doesn't matter to you anyway. Try to keep a steady eye.
Although I'm not a steady guy, but I
try to keep a steady eye. Times are crawl, times are fly. Try to keep a steady.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our NORML daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations. You may remember a story we posted on the stash about a young girl in Colorado who was denied entry into her prom because her boyfriend, a 20-year-old man with a medical marijuana card, smelled like marijuana. He didn't have marijuana on him. He hadn't even used marijuana that day. And yet this girl, who doesn't use marijuana at all, was not allowed to go to her prom because her date smelled like weed. Well, attorney Rob Corey in Colorado, a member of the NORML Legal Committee, defended the couple and appeared on numerous local Colorado news stations. He also appeared at the NORML Aspen Legal Seminar giving his presentation on ethics and the media.
Today, what I'm going to talk about are ethical strategies in dealing with the media. Now, a lot of this is aimed at lawyers and the ethical credits that we have to acquire to keep our law licenses, so there'll be some of that. And I recall it was a year ago or 2 years ago that Hal Haddon, who is a giant in our profession, represented Kobe Bryant, represented the parents of JonBenet Ramsey, gave a speech about dealing with the media. Now, my conclusions are slightly different from his, and my ideas are slightly different from his, but I don't disagree with Hal Haddon's approach. He takes a very careful, measured, planned out approach to dealing with the media because he's representing high profile clients like Kobe Bryant, parents of JonBenet Ramsey, people who every word they say in the media can be used against them. So I'm not here to disagree with Hal Haddon, but what I am here to say is that the types of case that I'm involved with are generally marijuana cases. And so my presentation is tailored to marijuana cases, and I'm not disagreeing with Hal Haddon, who really is just a giant in the Colorado criminal defense bar. And I believe that he's right when he makes his conclusions about the media. My conclusions are different because the people are on our side on the marijuana issue. We do have that going for us, and that's rare for criminal defense lawyers, all right? Usually we're on the defensive. by definition. We're defending somebody accused of a crime, and if it's a robbery, a rape, a murder, it is so tough to deal with the media, and you generally don't want media attention in those cases. Marijuana cases are different, very different. Marijuana cases, I believe we do have public opinion on our side in Colorado and also nationwide, especially because we are right now in a depression as a country. I mean, people out there are hurting. You know, you walk down the streets of Aspen, you won't see that in a place like this, maybe even Denver. But out there in the real world, you know, people are really hurting. We are in a horrible economic situation as a country. People are losing their jobs, losing their homes. They can't pay their bills. And when prosecutors are prosecuting this essentially luxury, they have the luxury of prosecuting peaceful, nonviolent marijuana growers and smokers and possessors. You know, the public does retaliate and does have strong attitudes against that. That's something we have going for us as well. So what we have prepared for you, and by the way, this is Sarah Reedy. Please stand up. This is my brilliant intern. She's a junior. She's a junior at University of Colorado Boulder. Great place. And she has prepared a multimedia presentation that I hope will keep people awake this morning on Saturday morning. So without further ado, and the other main caveat that covers my entire presentation here, and it's pretty obvious, but I do want to point it out, is that you've got to get, as a lawyer, you've got to get your client on board with any media strategy that you are going to initiate. And that's just absolutely critical. And if the client is not in favor of working with the media and having a media strategy, then don't do it. I think that's pretty obvious, but still, that's a very important thing. That being said, you know, most clients in this area of the law, in the medical marijuana area of the law or the marijuana area of the law, are happy to do media work. They're happy to initiate contacts with the media. They want that. It helps their case. It helps their cause. Most of the people that are here are part of the larger cause, and that's the impression that they want to carry forth in the media work. And there's nothing better than a pending court case to get media attention. So why don't we start off with Fox TV this morning? Get you all excited about that.
Man, I just ate.
Pardon me? Yeah, let's turn off the lights here. How's that? Is that okay with everyone? Hopefully won't put you to sleep too much. All right.
It's the high school prom she'll never forget, but for all the wrong reasons. A Denver student banned from her senior prom because school officials said her date reeked of marijuana. That date admits he smoked pot, but it was for medical reasons.
Now the girl blames the school and wants more than an apology. With us right now, Sarah Heidman and Jason Schweinsberg, I should say, and their attorney, Bob Corey Jr. First off, Jason, to you. You did smoke pot that day?
Around morning time, no time anywhere near the prom, anywhere near the dance.
So not only...
Around morning time, around...
Not only were you using it legally, you weren't even using it, so you think that they knew that you had the medical marijuana, allowed you to have medical marijuana, and just assumed that you were on it?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
All right, so you were in a car accident, and that's why you have been prescribed the medical marijuana. Let me turn to Sarah, because, Sarah, this was your date that you were trying to bring to the prom. You spent money not only to pay for the prom, but on your dress. What was the reaction that you went through when you were not allowed to come into the prom?
I was absolutely shocked and humiliated. I couldn't believe that they weren't going to let me in because of something so small. It's no different than someone taking pharmaceuticals.
Bob, what do you expect to do about it? The night is gone, the prom is over. Is this just, what could be done at this hour?
Well, it's really too bad that Sarah loses out forever on what could be a treasured memory for her senior prom. So really, though, what Sarah wants out of this is a simple apology from her school or from the police or whoever's decision it was to keep her out of there. And she wants a refund of her prom tickets, which she paid good money for and was not able to use. She wants a refund for her dress and her hair. and she's really not asking for too much that's out of line here. And this is just wrong what happened to her. Medical marijuana in Colorado is legal. The voters have spoken, and the voters are compassionate in our state, and the voters believe that people who are suffering from debilitating medical conditions like Jason here should be able to medicate. And here, he wasn't even medicating that night. He'd medicated that morning, and that evening he was not under the influence of it. And Sarah has done absolutely nothing wrong. She went and took a drug test that Monday, and she's going to pass it. She's got the results are in the works, and she doesn't even use marijuana, and she just kept out of a great night for her.
Right, so you're asking for a total of $460 back. I assume you're asking for that money from the school district. What has been their response so far?
Their response is no. They cite student safety, right, which makes absolutely no sense. There were students in there reeking of alcohol, my reports indicate, and they did nothing about that. And that's pretty common these days for prom.
And Jason, this whole thing, you must feel pretty guilty about it, yet through no fault of your own, that was the cause of the prom being missed.
Well, I don't feel guilty because I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I feel guilty? Mm-hmm. I followed my doctor, followed the laws by the book. I did everything right how I was supposed to. I shouldn't feel guilty for doing nothing wrong, should I?
He even consented to a search of his car by the police, and they found nothing.
Gotcha. Hey, Rob, Corey, Jason, and Sarah, good luck with your case. We'll track it.
Thank you. All right. Now, granted, that is not a criminal defense case, obviously. That's a tiny little hand grenade that we tried to blow up into a huge nuclear missile there. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out is I'm hoping there are a lot of people out here who have a lot of experience, some even more than I have with dealing with the media. I'd like this to be somewhat interactive. Comments, questions, just raise your hand and hopefully we can get a colloquy going here.
I thought you did a good job, bro.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we had this case came in, and you know, we talked to the clients, and they were more than comfortable with going to the media. I did a legal analysis of it, and a legal claim, a civil lawsuit, would be very difficult because of the damages component. You know, how do you allocate damages for missing your prom? Now, I've talked to my wife about this, and she says for a high school girl, your senior prom is like second only to your wedding. And it's a huge deal, so you know the damages could be in the millions. But without more evidence, a civil lawsuit would be difficult. So my client and I decided to use this as an educational tool. Now, it was so satisfying to her. The next clip is we did a press conference out in front of her high school. And that was just, I just personally, on a personal note, I just loved being at a high school. Yes, sir.
I'd say your Jason did a terrific job for you.
That's an excellent point. He was the one who contacted me, first of all. He is the activist.
Rob, you should
of
repeat
the
question for the tape.
Okay, thank you. The question was that the patient here, Jason, the guy, did an excellent job. How much did I have to work with him? And then also that Mr. Silber made the point that he's the key. If he doesn't hold together, the whole thing collapses and it just looks horrible, which is an excellent point. And luckily, I didn't have to work with Jason that much, didn't have to prep him. He's the one who contacted me. He's the activist. He's the veteran of a lot of these types of trainings and things. And he's actually only 20 years old, you know, which we've got to keep cultivating our youth here, no pun intended. So, you know, he's the one who initiated the whole thing, didn't have to work with him, but absolutely correct on the part of Mr. Silber. I mean, he had to hold it together, and he did. Yes, sir.
So as a dispensary, I've got a 19-year-old patient who came in. How do we work that with him, being the case in California with a minor? Is that something we should be scared of?
Well, 19 is not a minor under the laws of Colorado, so you're not contributing to the delinquency of a minor. But interestingly, and others will talk about this later, under the laws of Colorado, minors can have a card. And this guy, Jason, was one of the two or three minors back when he was a minor. I think he got his first card when he was like 16 years old. Minors can have their registry cards in Colorado. They're just required to get two doctors instead of one, and they're required to get parental permission, which adults don't need, obviously, and minors defined as anyone under the age of 18. So a 19-year-old, from the dispensary perspective, as long as the person has the card, the doctor's recommendation, and they've got the appropriate amounts, you're fine with having a 19-year-old. We did this press conference out in front of a high school, and since we're talking about ethics, there were some people, you know, that believed that it was wrong for us to be in front of a high school where there are minors, lots of minors, talking about marijuana. So why don't we roll that next clip, please, with the press conference and see what people think about that one.
One couple's prom plans go to pot after they're accused of smelling like marijuana. It happened at Brighton High School's prom Saturday night. Northern Newsroom reporter Mike Cooker explains, although the couple looked great, they apparently didn't pass the smell test.
I was really hoping to experience a really fun time with my friends.
We've all heard stories of bad prom nights, but this couple never even got into the dance.
They would not let me go past the front door. I was not allowed inside ever.
Sarah Heidemann and her boyfriend, Jason Swinesburg, say when they showed up at the Wings Over the Rockies Museum in Denver for the Brighton High School prom, police at the door said they smelled marijuana on the couple. Were you smoking marijuana that night?
No.
Her boyfriend is not a student and says he did smoke pot the morning of prom to manage long-term pain from a car crash. It's perfectly legal. He's registered with the state to use marijuana as medicine. But he says he didn't medicate that night, and a police search didn't find any marijuana on the couple or in their car.
There is an effort, of course, to keep drugs out of proms.
Yeah, but we didn't have any, so I don't understand it. Like, why, if we don't have any, why couldn't they have watched us? If we did anything wrong, then kick us out.
We're doing our best to ensure the safety of all of our students and their guests at every event that we host.
The attorney for the school district says it was Denver police who turned only Jason away, and Sarah chose to leave with him.
That the student of Brighton High School was not denied access to the prom.
But now the couple has an attorney, an expert in defending medical marijuana rights, demanding an apology from the school and police and a refund of more than $400 in prom night expenses.
I think she's got a strong civil rights lawsuit if that's what Sarah decides to do.
Everybody that walked in saw me outside crying. I really wish I could get my senior prom back.
The attorney for the school district says this morning's press conference here at the school with the couple and their attorney was the first she heard of these complaints. So the district is not yet ready to respond to the request for an apology and also for a refund of the $460 the couple spent on prom tickets, dinner, the prom dress, and hairstyling. Karen?
It is a lot of money. Mike Cooker, thank you. The Brighton High School student says that she even took a drug test earlier this week to prove that she had not been smoking pot, but the results from that test are not back yet.
So what do people think about the drug test issue? Because some people said that was a bad idea. It makes it seem like marijuana is a bad thing. Any thoughts about that? It came back negative. She actually does not.
Great
idea. Yeah. Good point. That's an excellent ethical, since we're talking about ethics here, taking risks, because she went, I looked my client in the eye, and I do believe this young girl, and you know, as criminal defense lawyers, one of our skills that we're supposed to have is we're supposed to be able to look people deep in their eyes and figure out if they're lying, and you know, as criminal defenders, we deal with people who lie every day. Now, not all cops lie, but we deal with that, and we're supposed to be able to detect it. And I looked at her, and you know, but it was a risk, as Mr. Veets points out, because we go and do this drug test. It was one of those weird drug tests that take like 3 or 4 days to get the results back. We did get the results back; she was clean. But big risk to put that out there. But we had to get that point out. She wanted to make that point, and that's, I guess, the point that I'd like to make is, you know, you've got to rely on your clients when you're doing this, because it's got to be real, it's got to be natural, and she wanted to emphasize, you know, the fact that she doesn't use medical marijuana, she's not a patient, and she doesn't use it recreationally either. That was her idea. She wanted to lead with that. So
I don't see it as a risk. I mean, if it came back dirty, wouldn't you just not release it? I mean, how would they find out about it?
But you already mentioned it, though.
I know, but
right.
were there follow-up stories about that, about how the drug test came out?
There were some follow-ups. In fact, Bill O'Reilly talked about it on his show a little bit, which was interesting. He was not on our side, but his analyst, I can't remember her name, Megan Fox, I think, did take our side, understands things. So, you know, that was interesting. But sometimes the media will follow up on these things. So I think it was a risk in that regard. But you're right. And this is another point that I'd like to make. The media is not in the information business. The media is in the entertainment business. They want to entertain. They like the sexy thing. They always use the pot leaf. You've seen that in so many of these stories. And I like the pot leaf. I think it's a beautiful plant, so I'm fine with them using it. Different people in our movement have different opinions about, you know, using that leaf as to whether that's a good thing for the movement or not. Any thoughts in the crowd about that? You people said, like the leaf? Yes, sir.
Marijuana sells papers, good, bad, or indifferent. The stories themselves, right? I've used the media extensively marijuana sells paper.
It does.
Whether they like it, a bad story or positive or negative, positive or negative, the actual mod in the paper will sell the papers. Whether the paper is for you or against you, they like the set fact it's going to sell the papers. So they're going to run the story, and most likely it's going to get the front page.
Right. That's right. And the other thing that this couple wanted, I mean, they wanted to keep the discussion going, and that's really what we're all about here is when we talk, when we get to talk about marijuana, we generally win because I think the public is on our side. If we never talk about it, if it never comes up, things are not going to change. The only way, marijuana laws are not going to be reformed on their own. They have to be pushed. They have to be moved. People have to do things. And when you've got a courageous client like that who gets the humiliation of being excluded from her prom and then she's willing to come forward, you know, my view as a lawyer is you've got to honor that. You've got to honor that.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder that you can get involved with a local Normal chapter and help make a difference in ending adult marijuana prohibition. If there's not a chapter near you, send me an email at chapters@normal.org. We'll gather the emails from all the people who live next to you, and we'll see if we can't get you all together to form a new Normal chapter. We're right in that process right now in Northern Virginia, in Kentucky, in Duluth, Minnesota, Utah, all across the country. We've got people that are interested in organizing and fighting this stupid marijuana prohibition. Again, it's chapters@normal.org. Just let me know who you are and what city and state you live in, so I can match you up with other like-minded cannabis consumers who want to stand up and fight for their rights. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll be back next week with more Daily Audio Stash. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.